Welcome to Holzweiler Take a Moment podcast, a space to block out the noise and let inspiration flow. My name is Suzanne Holzweiler. I started Holzweiler together with my brother Andreas and my sister-in-law Maria. After running a business for 10 years, I developed a burnout, and the remedy for this was quite literally to take a moment. I shifted my lifestyle to allow for a space for wellness, meditation and rest, and to learn new information from books and podcasts. Inspired by this, Take a Moment with Holzweiler is our new podcast where we delve deep into the stories of the people who inspire us. There's so much to learn if we take the time to listen to other people's experiences, and this is what this podcast creates a space to do. In the rush of the working week, when everyone is dashing from meeting to meeting, it's hard to find the time to let creativity flow. Therefore, we have a meeting-free Wednesday in Holzweiler, and we thought, what better day to launch our weekly episode than Wednesday? Welcome to the very first episode of the Holzweiler Take a Moment podcast. And in this episode, I'm actually going to share my story, but it feels a little bit odd to interview me, so I need to find someone who can do that job. And I couldn't think of anyone better than you, Nico. So Nico has been working in Holzweiler for how many years?
Since 2018.
2018, 6 years. And he's creating a lot of our content, and especially all the content that evokes so much feelings and emotions. And yeah, you're a brother, Nico.
Wow. Susanne, thank you so much for that introduction. I'm so excited to interview you today, and I'm so excited to produce this podcast. So let's get started.
Yes.
So today we are talking to Susanne Holzweiler, which is the founder of Holzweiler, together with her brother and sister-in-law Maria. And Susanne, before this episode, I actually asked your partner Tobias if he could say a couple of words about you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And do you want to guess what he said?
No.
No. He said three words: powerful, inspiring, and loving.
Oh.
And I feel these three words describes you really, really well. And I know I said it before, but it's so inspiring to see how you're able to have all these projects going on, but at the same time, you're so down to earth and also take such good care of your family. So I'm super inspired by how you manage to do that.
Thank you.
Susanne, what's your thoughts about starting the Holzweiler podcast again?
You know, I love podcasts. It's one of my favorite things. I just want to create a place where people can listen to inspiring stories. I get so inspired by other people's life story myself. So that's what I want this podcast to be. I want to invite the Holzweiler community. We have such an amazing community, so many great people we work with. And this should be a place where people will share their stories and let's see what comes out of that.
Yeah. As an introduction episode, we thought it would be nice to talk about the Holzweiler story, like how you guys started the brand. Before Holzweiler was even a brand, what were you doing?
From as far as I can remember, I've always been dreaming about running my own business, even when I was like a small child. It's almost like I've always just had this view of myself, like I'm going to be a businesswoman and I'm going to do something on my own. And I wasn't very interested in school. I didn't want to study. I just wanted to start to work. I had 1 year where I studied because my mom almost like forced me. She was like, you actually need to study something. So I did that student year, which was fun. So I'm happy I did that. And then I just started working. Yeah. And I worked in sales. So I was actually selling, you know, these phone solutions for companies, you know, which was kind of hardcore, but I think it made me a little bit tough, right? But I was still like, every night I was sitting up in my kitchen and like, oh, I need to start something. What can it be? And I've always been very interested in food. So I was like, maybe I'll do like a food or restaurant concept. And then one day, Andreas called me. This was in 2006.
Yeah.
And he was living in Copenhagen and he was in fashion. I was like not into fashion. And he called me, and being a part of like fashion in Copenhagen in 2006, that was when like all the Danish brands starting like booming.
Yeah.
And in Norway, there was like no fashion, you know, very limited. And he was like, do you want to start an agency with me? And I was like, an agency? I don't know what an agency is, but I was just so eager to just start something. So I was just like, yes, let's do it. And that's how it started.
Yeah.
And I remember I found like our first showroom in a very, very small space in Oslo.
Mm.
And I was so proud to like make this showroom for me and my brother. And he came home from Copenhagen and you know, there you had like bigger showrooms and all the spaces were really beautiful. And this was like a tiny, tiny space, 30 square meters. And I just looked at Andreas, was a bit like, okay, this is not like amazing, but yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah.
And I remember the worst thing we could experience was if our customers came in and they asked if they could use the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because the bathroom was so creepy. It was in the basement. It was horrible. Yeah. So that was how we started. And
where in Oslo was this?
This was in Majorstua.
Okay.
But I remember we very quickly like grew out of that space. It was still just Andreas and me at that time. And we were also distributors for brands. So we were like, you know, selling goods at daytime and then we were packing at nighttime. And our father was very often helping us out in like packing.
Yeah.
And then one day we were like, oh, it would be so nice to just have our own, you know, warehouse. We didn't even think about the thought that you could rent a warehouse. You know, we just thought we'd need to do everything on our own. And then our father said, okay, if you want to like start your own warehouse, then I will apply for the... to work there and run it. And you never have to be afraid that anything will be gone. Like, so we were like, okay, but if you apply for the job as a warehouse manager, then we will just open a warehouse.
Yeah.
So our father was our first employee. Yeah, fast forward some years, the you know, the dream of creating our own brand really started to grow. And we were thinking, what can we do? And neither Andreas and I are designers. But we have like an eye, you know, on what works. We're very like hands-on on the market. We had all the customers in Norway. So, and then we saw that like scarves was like a big, really big business.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, maybe we should do scarves. You know, we could do scarves. We decided that we will do scarves. We need to produce them in India. I don't know why we thought that. We just thought we have to produce them in India. But we both had like small kids. And we were traveling so much, so neither of us were like willing to now also go to India for a week to find a supplier. So we talked to our mom.
Which year was this?
This was in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked to our mom because our mom, she's been in interior. She's very good on like fabrics and everything itches on her.
Yeah.
So we knew we wanted to have like really high quality scarves. So we knew if she finds a quality that doesn't itch.
Then it's good.
Then it's good.
Yeah.
So we just called her and literally... she went to India 1 week later.
Yeah.
You know, she was just like, I'm up for it. I'll go to India. I'll find a supplier. So she took another girl from her company with her to India and landed in Delhi and was just, you know, calling us a couple of days later. And she was like, this is impossible. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack. She had met so many suppliers and she was like, I just cannot find the right one. And Andreas was like thinking, and Andreas always has, you know, someone he knows somewhere. Yeah. And then he just solves an impossible thing, you know, always. So he just remembered this guy that he had met in Copenhagen some years previously. He was like, oh, I think actually I have one. And his name is Shanavas, and he called Shanavas. Shanavas met my mom, and Shanavas only does scarves. That's what he does, and he does it really well.
Yeah.
So my mom met Shanavas and it was, you know, love at first sight. And we still work with him this day today.
Wow.
So that's how the scarf journey started. And then we actually, my mom and Lisa, they took all of these samples from India back to Norway with them. And we gathered the whole company, which at that time was six people, in our cabin in Norefjell. And we were like, now we're going to make the first Holzweiler collection. Mm. And they just had all of these fabrics and... we found a lot of nice fabrics, but we just felt there is something missing. This is a little bit boring. So then my mom came up with the idea that what about doing collaboration with artists and we could get art printed on scarves, because at that time it was kind of new to do digital prints.
Yeah.
And also the whole collaboration thing was, you know, it wasn't many brands doing it at that time.
How did you go from scarves to clothes?
Yeah, so I think we always love... growing things, you know, and the scarf first scarf launch was it was a very like immediate success in the Norwegian market. So we became like, oh my God, afraid that we're just going to become this scarf brand because our visions were bigger than that. But still, we didn't have a designer, you know. So that's when Maria came on board, Andreas's wife, because she's an amazing designer.
Mm.
So she was like, okay, if you move into ready-to-wear, I would love to do it together with you guys. So it's kind of fun when I look back at it, because every time we have expanded the business, you know, warehouse, scarves, design, we've always added a new family member.
Yeah.
So we launched our first collection, fall 2014, almost 10 years ago. And together with the first collection, we also launched the lamb's wool scarves.
Okay.
That is still like a really important Holzweiler product. So.
Yeah. Susanne, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about Holzweiler from the beginning. But where is Holzweiler today?
Yes, today we are 180 people working in the company, approximately.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it feels like this huge extended family. So it's really nice. We have 11 stores, own Holzweiler stores. 7 in Norway, 1 in Copenhagen, and 3 in China.
Yeah.
We work with amazing wholesalers worldwide. We're really tapping into becoming a global brand, which is super exciting.
Mm.
And which is like, I think, the next big dream that we're working towards.
Yeah, that is amazing. At one point in your career, you told me that you kind of hit rock bottom, or like hit the wall, as we say in Norway.
Mm.
How did that happen?
Yes, I think I had been working at that time, you know, so much and so hard for, I think I had had the business for 10 years.
Mm.
I had like gotten 2 small kids in that period, and it was just everything at the same time. And I was really working day and night, you know, every little spare second I was just always working. I was a bad workaholic if I look back at it. And I was a control freak.
But you love to
freak.
Work, right?
I love to work, but still, you know,
and
also I was a very control freak.
Yeah.
So I just had to like control everything of the business. I was just really, controlling everything. And I started to get like a lot of sick. I started to develop like all these food intolerances. And then, but I didn't like think about it, right? I just thought, okay, so I'll just have this continuous flu that is coming back to me all the time. And then, but then all of a sudden I started to become dizzy.
Yeah.
And even then I was like, oh, why am I dizzy? You know, I didn't even think about getting like a burnout, because I was even that person that thought like, come on, the burnout, you know, get up and work. It's going to be fine. I didn't actually believe in the concept.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just this day, you know, that I just couldn't. Yeah. Just felt really busy. Oh my God, tapping into my old energy. And I went to acupuncture to get help.
Yeah.
And I just collapsed on the floor.
Wow.
At my acupuncturist. And I remember she said, you just have to go home and sleep. And I just slept and I slept and I slept. And my energy, it was just out. You know, it was gone. And one thing I remember, which is really fascinating, is I just felt, you know, I had like these tons of emails. I had like this feeling I could never, you know, get to the bottom of my work. It was just too much. And that like draining feeling of never get all you have to do to get it done.
Mm.
And especially all the emails. But I couldn't open my Mac again. You know, I just could not open it.
Mm.
And it's just very fascinating that, you know, all the hundreds of emails I had that I couldn't open that day, and it was in 2016.
Yeah.
And I still haven't read them, you know, and it was fine.
Yeah, exactly.
So sometimes I think it was a tough time of my life, but I'm actually really grateful that it happened, because it changed me so much.
And in what way did it change you?
First of all, I decided, because I've always been a lot into, like, I've been practicing yoga for many years. I started to tap into meditation.
Mm.
I've been very into like self-development, like reading lots of inspirational books. Mm. So I've always had that mindset. So when I got the burnout, I was very very focused that I didn't want to just sit at home and watch TV, right? Yeah. I did not want to fill my head with junk. I was like, I'm going to use this time to fill up with something positive.
Mm.
So I had like every day I need to move, you know, I need to just get out, even though I'm super tired. I went out for a walk, get daylight and get fresh air.
Yeah.
I started an online meditation course and I began to listen to podcasts actually. That was when I started to listen to podcasts because I just wanted to fill, you know, my head with something positive.
Yeah.
And then I experienced like, oh my God, this is a world out there with knowledge and inspiration that people just share.
Mm.
And then it gave me time to reflect, you know, what am I actually doing here? You know, working day and night. And I also began to reflect on what is the work that is actually draining me? You know, what is it that I don't want to do anymore when I get back, you know, from this burnout? I don't want to. So at that time, I was the CEO of the company. I didn't even trust my brother, right? I was like controlling everything. I was horrible. And I remember one of the most beautiful things that happened during my burnout was I spent many, many weeks where I just couldn't go to the office.
Mm.
But I felt I have to try to get back, you know, to the office just to say hi to people and be there. But every time I just drove down here, I parked the car and I just began to cry and I just had to go back home.
Wow.
And then one day I was like, okay, it's fine. People can see me cry. Mm. Then if I'm just going to walk into that office crying, I will just do it, you know?
Yeah.
And I did that. I cried. I walked in the office and I just cried.
That's really brave.
Yeah, but I had to just get over that fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at least just come inside again, right? And then Andrea said something really beautiful to me that I will never forget.
Mm.
And he said that he felt, really grateful that I had this burnout because he saw it as a sign that I finally trust him.
Wow.
To take charge of the company.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, so that's why it happened to me, because I finally trusted him.
I was actually going to ask you, because the needing of controlling everything, do you feel like that kind of disappeared after the burnout?
Yeah. I think not immediately, but like it was a lot less of it. Yeah. And I think because I saw what it did to me.
Mm.
I'm just not willing to go back there. So I think today I'm very trusting. People, you know, need to do their job, and I'm not going to sacrifice my energy by controlling things.
No.
You know, I'm just not going back there. So I think that's, I had so many lessons.
Yeah.
And also I think a lot of the lessons of the burnout are still coming to me this day.
Yeah.
It's not like all the lessons came at that time. It's just, you know, every time I'm reflecting of who I am today and what's important to me today, it goes back to that period where I was burnt out.
Yeah. I love how when experiencing something pretty dramatic and kind of negative and bad, there always comes something good out of it. If you choose to look good at it, you know, like...
Yeah.
It's so inspiring to hear. I love it.
Mm.
That's amazing. So what was the process after when you started to come back to the office, and like how was the process from there?
It was step by step.
Yeah.
I think maybe for a couple of years I was very focused on, if I got dizzy, then I was like, okay, I need to calm down. Like you hear all of these stories of people who get the burnout once, then they come back and then they get the new one. It's even harder. So I was like, this is not going to happen to me. I really need to take care of myself.
Yeah.
Slowly, you know, step by step, I started to, you know, do meditation every day. And I think that also opened my whole passion that I have today about, you know, self-care and well-being and how you need to take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a cliche. And even when you're in an airplane, you know, it's even the security, you know, put on your own mask first and then help everyone else.
Yeah.
And we just forget, you know, we just really forget, you know, people today, we take more care of our cars than on our own. Mm. You know, we take our car to this service every year.
Yeah.
What about like your own body and your own self? So
exactly. So how is your daily routines looking like when it comes to self-care?
I do a lot.
Yeah, I know.
But I love mornings. Yeah. I am a very morning person. Mm. I can really, and it's not that I get up super early, but I just love the morning. You yeah. know, some days it can be at 6, some days it can be at 8:30. So it's not like I'm not the early bird all the time, but I love the morning. Mm. And sometimes I can even, in the evening, I can even be so excited about the next morning wow. that I'm like, I just need to sleep so I can wake up and start a new day.
Yeah.
So I'm a very morning person. And
is Tobias the same way?
Yeah, he's growing into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have some morning routines that we do together.
Yeah,
which tell is us really about that. Nice. Yeah. No, so I have 3 kids. Mm. And of course, the 2 oldest are taking care of themselves in the morning. So that's quite easy. But Bobby, who's 3, he's... So it depends a bit, you know, does he... But he's sleeping, often sleeps to like 8, you yeah. know. So that very easily gives me a little bit of time just on my own.
Yeah.
So... I really like when I can just get up, the house is still sleeping. I go downstairs. And then I just now bought like this red light.
Mm.
So I sit in front of my red light, which is giving you the same benefits as the sun.
Okay.
So now during this dark season in Norway, it's really nice to just get. Yeah. And it's mixed with infrared light as well. So it goes actually into your skin. It's a lot of health benefits, but that's yeah. another episode. We should yeah. interview someone about that one time. We will do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
But okay, so I sit in front of my red light and I do a meditation.
Mm.
15, 20 minutes. And then...
Every morning.
Every morning.
Yeah.
Yes. But some, you know, if Bobby wakes up early, then maybe I will do the meditation after I put him to kindergarten.
Mm.
So I'm not so strict with myself anymore. No. You know, I just have these things I like to do in the morning before I leave the house.
Yeah.
And but it doesn't need to be in this order, or I don't care about that, you know? And another thing that I always try to get in is to have I have a gratitude journal. So every morning I write in that. And that I can do when Bobby is eating breakfast. I just sit and, you know, write down what I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
And it just gives me a good feeling inside. And I just really, for me, it's important to leave the house and start my day with a good feeling inside. You know, yeah. I'm done with stressing in the morning, running out. I don't do that anymore.
No.
So all of my routines are about like feeling well, you know, feeling good, because that's the energy I want to bring out to the world.
Yeah.
And then, I'm not done.
This is every single morning.
Every single morning.
Wow.
Yeah. And I have coffee.
Yeah.
I love a good cup of coffee, and that's where Tobias comes in.
Mm.
So sometimes, of course, we don't have a lot of time, but we still have this, even if it's just one sip at the coffee cup, you know, together.
Yeah.
And we like hand brew the coffee, and it's like, yeah, it's so nice. And then we're like, oh, here you have your cup. This is my cup. Good morning, you know, and it's so nice.
Yeah.
Bobby's there and the girls are maybe up and down and breakfast and inside and everything happens, you know, life happens, but we still have this one little, and that's a gratitude moment for us.
Yeah.
So the coffee is very important. And then I added one more thing now this year that I really love. It doesn't take a lot of time, but before I leave the house, I dance.
You dance?
I dance.
Really?
Yeah.
What type of dance do you do?
I just dance.
By yourself?
Yeah. I just put on happy music.
Wow, I love it.
And it feels so good to just move.
Yeah.
And, you know, dancing makes you happy.
Yeah.
So like, you know, it's like, and I'm just thinking, okay, dance like no one's watching, you know? And that's what I do. It's not a long time. Maybe it's like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But I just move.
Yeah. But if you're on a work trip, for example.
Yeah.
Do you dance in your hotel room?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I did that in Paris now.
Yeah.
And that was actually even better because then no one could see me.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that was actually the best experience ever to dance in this tiny hotel room.
Yeah.
And just feel free and then walk into the streets of Paris.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's amazing. I can actually feel the energy when you talk about it, you know, like.
Yeah.
So inspiring. So before we... press record on this podcast episode, you told me quickly about female energy business. What is that all about?
I've been reflecting a lot about like female energy in business the past years because we live in a very men's dominated world, and business as it is today is like, it's made up of men, right? Mm. So we women haven't been working in business for maybe just the last 40, 50 years. And we are different, you know, men are masculine, women are feminine. Of course, you can have like masculine women and feminine men, you know, but the main masculine energy, which has been in business, is now being a little bit like almost disrupted, you know, by us women coming in and bringing in, you know, we are more maybe like, it's more love, you know, more care for the people. It's a different energy, you know, and nothing is good or bad. It's just, it's added into business.
Yeah.
And I heard this beautiful story or picture of it the other day in the podcast, actually, where if you compare it to when you make a baby, right? Then you have the sperm and you have the egg, right?
Yeah.
And the sperm is the masculine and the egg is the feminine.
Yeah.
And the feminine is just actually not doing anything, just waiting for the sperm to, who's like working like crazy, right? Just working.
Yeah.
Competition, get into that egg, you know, make that baby.
Yeah.
And for me, it was such an aha moment because the masculine is like working really hard.
Yeah.
But if we only work really hard and there is no egg, then that's what, you don't get the baby. You know, you don't get the magic.
Yeah.
But when you have both the masculine working really hard and you have the feminine, which is more about like receiving.
Yeah.
Maybe being still.
Mm.
Maybe just being more, you know, just another energy. Then together we create the baby, right?
Yeah.
Which is the magic.
Wow. That's an amazing picture.
Isn't that amazing?
I love it.
So I think that's a new passion for me almost. Like, how can we do both, you know?
Yeah.
You cannot only just be feminine and just sit there and receive if no one is like, you know, you need both. So I think that's really fascinating to see how can we, because in business, there is so much of the male energy, both from women and from men, because that's how we brought up to think about business.
Mm.
And I also think that's why people get so burned out, because it's all about like doing, working. Growing, you know, instead of like, what would happen if we just stop, you know, just, and also allow that energy, you know, what will happen then? Then I think we will create so much more magic.
Yeah.
It also feels a little bit scary, you know, can something happen if I don't do anything?
Yeah.
You know, but there's a lot happening even if we don't do or work so hard.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
That's also why we have the Meeting Free Wednesdays here at Holzweiler.
Yeah.
You know, because we just have this crazy meeting culture in our society today. So I get like, the worst thing I know is if I wake up in the morning and I just see that my whole day or my whole week is just full of meetings, you know, because it's just, there is no time to be creative. There is no time for things to just happen, you know? And it's always, the magic is when it just happens.
Yeah.
You know, not from running from meeting to meeting. You can achieve a lot, but it's not the full potential.
Mm. How would you say that these things has changed Holzweiler?
I think the thing about Holzweiler is it's from day one, you know, we have never been one person. It's always been minimum two.
Yeah.
Right. And it's always been about the team. It's always been about this, you know, if I look back again, like it's been feminine, masculine energy. When I came back from my burnout period, I started to do meditations at work. So that's when I started to include people in it.
Yeah.
I remember one of our employees, it was his first day and he thought it was a prank. So he was sitting there like opening his eyes. Are they actually doing meditation?
Who was this?
Geir. Oh.
I can see Geir think that way.
I forget. So we've included the meditation and now also we're doing the meditations before our show. And I remember the first shows where I was like, we're going to gather everyone and meditate before the show. And people looked at me like, oh my God, she's crazy. You know, it's so busy. Now we're going to spend 5-10 minutes gathering everyone, meditating.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit like, I really need to work to get it done. But then I think people feel the difference. You know, there is another energy in the whole. If you take the show, for instance, there something happens, you know, and people feel more connected. We even hear from our models that they're like, oh, I feel like so much more connected to the brand. They take their time to just breathe with us. And that again creates a different energy to our show. So yeah, I haven't done it, like, it's not like I have a bullet list of how can I get more self-care into whole sweater. It just happens, you know. I'm just now we even last year rolled out the concept of take a moment, and that wasn't even my idea. So I get so proud when the team comes up with ideas, which are about like taking care of ourselves, because I really genuinely think it's so important. And I think maybe even for each year that goes, I feel that it's even more important, because I can just see how we live in this very, very, very stressful society. And we just need to slow down. You know, we really need to slow down and just start to reflect on, you know, why are we here? You know, we live this one life. Why should we just burn ourselves out and run? And why? You know, we should just enjoy. And that's what I want to create, a business that is, of course, doing well and thriving and everything. But I want to create a business where people thrive, where people have fun, where people enjoy their life, you know? That's what I want to create.
That's amazing. What in life makes you happy? Like, speaking of joy.
Morning coffee.
Yeah.
And my family.
Yeah.
My children. Oh, I just, you know, children is just the most amazing thing about life.
Yeah.
Absolutely love spending time with them. And also I love having kids in so many different stages of life. And of course, the big love of my life, Tobias, makes me so much joy.
Yeah.
I feel so blessed to actually experience that kind of love. And I wish the same kind of love for every human being, because it's, yeah, it's really amazing. And yeah, on that note, I just want to end with my mission for this year, actually. And I think, you know, we live in a very, very special times. It's so much terrible going on. And I think over New Year's, I always spend New Year's to reflect a lot on the past year, on the upcoming year. And I just thought, okay, I cannot, even though, you know, it's hard to say, because I don't want to sound like selfish, you know, but I really believe that what I bring into the world can change the world. I think if we should all make the world a better place, it's about focusing on love.
Yeah.
So this year for me is about focusing on love, you know, even though how bad it looks, you know. And I also get like drawn into social media, seeing everything happening, and I get so upset and sad and everything. But then I'm like, oh, it doesn't make the world a better place about me being upset.
No.
You know?
Yeah, 100%.
And that's the hard part, you know, because then you feel a bit selfish. But I know that the world would be a better place if I focus on love. And what if everyone in the world would focus on love? You know, what if our politicians would do that? And just...
It's actually that easy.
It's actually that easy. So it isn't even hard.
No.
And
it's kindergarten material, but it should be also adult material. You know?
You cannot change anyone else, you know, not in any aspect of life. You can always just start with you.
Yeah.
So my like 2024 mission is just to focus on love. You know, every time I will go into anger or resentment or whatever, self-pity, or you know, you have all these feelings, I will just go back to gratitude, go back to love. And that's what I want to send out to the world this year. So that's what I want also this podcast to be, you know. It should be a happy place.
That's beautiful. Where,
and we can talk about the bad stuff in a happy place, right? It's not that you cannot do that, but it's to learn from it and to have a podcast that will just give, you know, when people are done listening to one of the episodes, they should feel inspired. You know, that's what I want this podcast to be. And that's what I'm super excited to talk about, or talk with all our amazing community for the next weeks. And share
I'm so excited for this podcast, and I think it will be super inspiring for many people. Susanne, today, thank you so much for sharing all your stuff from your personal life and from work life.
Thank you, Nico. I'm so excited that we finally are doing this. So yeah, let's invite our first guest and get going.
Let's go.